More signs of a slowing Chinese economy. From APM in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio, with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Shanghai Composite Index fell 2.5% today, as China said its economy grew more slowly last year than originally thought. Meanwhile, China's foreign exchange reserves fell by a record amount in August, as Beijing tried to prop up its own currency after the biggest devaluation in two decades. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us from Shanghai to explain what this all means.
I think there's a lot of worry that it might mean more devaluation. You know, China's foreign exchange reserves declined by $94 billion in August. And this is because China's central bank has been busy selling U.S. dollars in order to prop up its own currency. And over the weekend, China's finance minister said China's financial markets are expected to remain stable and that China's currency is not on course for a long-term devaluation. But analysts here aren't so sure about that. If China continues to prop up its currency by drawing down its foreign exchange reserves, more money will leave the country and there will be more pressure to depreciate the Chinese currency even more.
And China also cut its growth rate from last year from 7.4% to 7.3%. Doesn't sound like much, but we are talking about the world's second largest economy, right?
Right. And that modification is equal to $10 trillion that the Chinese economy did not grow by last year. And it's important to remember here that GDP growth figures are a big deal in a country that still tries to plan its economy. Beijing felt that it had to modify last year's figure, tells us that it was much harder for the country to meet the government's growth target last year. And by the way, China's growth target for this year is set at 7%, which would be the slowest pace in 25 years. But if China does make that target, it's still a pretty good growth rate, all things considered.
That's Rob Schmitz, Marketplace China Bureau Chief. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Amy.
A handful of startup companies like JetSmarter and Victor are hoping to become the Uber of the skies. Much like the popular private taxi service, these companies are designing apps to make it easier than ever to fly on private jets. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Will the gilded skies ever be the same? A wave of entrepreneurs want to take advantage of all the empty seats on private jets and lure people away from commercial air travel with promises of lower prices. Industry analyst Robert W. Mann Jr. doubts this is going to fly.
The merely affluent aren't going to be chartering private jet to St. Martin from New York. That's just beyond the means of anybody who isn't just stupid rich.
Mann says that St. Martin flight round trip would cost $80,000 to $90,000, depending on the jet. Or you could fly from JFK to the Caribbean island first class for as little as $1,000. Seth Kaplan is with Airline Weekly.
The economics between private jets and commercial air travel are just far more different than the economics between a private car and a taxi.
Kaplan says the economies of scale you get with commercial carriers are going to win out every time. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Tennessee is known for its whiskey, especially Jack Daniel's, the most popular American whiskey in the world. But until recently, that state only had three distilleries. Now, thanks to changes in the liquor law, whiskey distilleries are popping up all over the place. Just getting that whiskey to market takes a long time. So WPLN's Emily Siner reports the new distilleries are getting creative.
The big warehouse of distillery Speakeasy Spirits smells like fermenting alcohol, which is exactly what's happening in giant bubbling tubs in the middle of the room. Dozens of barrels line the walls.
We're going to start construction on a big barrel house because we're running out of room.
Jenny Pennington is one of the founders of the Nashville-based company. She says it costs a lot to produce whiskey. You have to buy the equipment, the barrels, the space to keep them. But this whiskey has to age for several years before it goes on the shelf.
Every time you lay down a barrel of whiskey, you're pretty much writing a check and, you know, have to put it on the shelf for, you know, 4 to 6 years, however long you're going to age it.
So as a faster form of payment, Speakeasy has started making vodka.
And it's wonderful because you can make vodka today and, it's ready for the market tomorrow.
You could do rum, you could do gin, you could do vodka, you could do unaged whiskey.
Clay Risen has written a book about American whiskey, and he says this kind of business model isn't just happening in Tennessee. The number of distilleries have boomed nationwide, but he says it's tough to get started if you only want to make aged whiskey.
If you're looking to get investors, it can be very hard to convince people that hey, I've never done this before, but you should give me money because it's going to pay off.
Charlie Nelson had a hard time getting funding. He owns Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery in Nashville. So he says,
my family and I, we decided to put up everything that we own to personally guarantee a loan.
Now he's putting away a couple of barrels of whiskey every day.
My triple great-grandfather's original recipe.
Nelson's selling an unaged version in the meantime to bring in some cash. He says everything about this business requires a lot of patience.
And if you rush it, you might make a mistake.
His whiskey should be ready for market next year. By that time, more Tennessee companies may have joined the slow and steady race. In Nashville, I'm Emily Siner for Marketplace.
The later Labor Day this year added a week to Hollywood's summer movie season, and it's been a strong one. Ticket sales are up by more than 10% compared to last summer, according to RentTrack. As always, there were winners and losers. Jurassic World topped the box office, taking in more than $1.6 billion in global sales. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.